Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network, sponsored by Nada. No one. Hope everyone's doing great. I think we're getting all summer's worth of rain in one day. If you're on the East Coast, you probably know what I'm talking about. Hope everybody's doing well and staying safe. Did I ever tell you I miss drinking? It's a long relationship. Breakups aren't easy.
Mother, mother, ocean, well, I heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. Cause you've seen it all. You've seen it all. Who watched the man who rode you switch from sails to steam, and in your belly hold the treasures a few have ever seen, most of them dreams, most of them dreams.
When I when I first got sober, there'd be times where I'd miss drinking and I used to feel so guilty. What a shame that I missed something like that. Something that was so bad for me. But drinking played a big part. It was a big... I was actually trying to figure this out. I think I drank for about 12 years. I had a relationship with alcohol for about 12 years. And it wasn't crazy in the beginning. In fact, I had a lot of fun, you know, a lot of fun drinking. I mean, up in 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, that was some of the best times of my life. And it was all about with drinking and friends. It's all those beer commercials you see, or those Corona commercials, or those, you know, those commercials where it's just hanging out in a cabin in the woods, or, you know, whatever it is. It was just that. Those were a lot of the moments that I had in my early days of drinking. A lot of relationships, a lot of friendships. A few lost over it. More in the end. But it was a lot of fun. And, I don't think I really became alcoholic or drank in an alcoholic manner until I really moved to Delaware. But at the time, up until then, I balanced it out with other drugs and other things. You know, did this for a while, did that for a while, did this, did that, did both, did all three, did everything, did nothing. But it was always about, you know, balance, I guess, if you can even say that, balancing bad. But I had a lot of fun. And then when I moved to Delaware, that's when I really, the true nature of me was exposed, and the fact that I'm just a freaking trash can when it comes to that kind of shit. And all the stuff that I had at my fingertips when I was out in California was gone. You know, they didn't have speed here in Delaware. They may have, I don't know. You know, I'd gotten in trouble. I'd gotten in trouble with the law, and I really made a commitment to not do drugs anymore. In fact, I had to go, I won't say to jail, actually it was like a phase 3 or phase 2 or some level of probation camp up in Big Bear Mountains in California, Camp West Fork. It's a probation camp. And it was kind of, I mean, it was, at the time, it was the end of the world. I mean, I remember getting sentenced. I mean, my father saved my ass on that one. I got in trouble. My dad got me a lawyer. pleaded it down to, you know, I was looking at going to jail. And I remember I was sentenced to three months level two probation. I forget the level, but probation. And I was like, sweet. I'm going to be able to, no, work release. I was sentenced to work release. Where you go and you stay in a facility and then during the day you get to work. And I was like, shit, I'll be able to get high. I'll go out. I mean, I can get high during the day and come back. They'll never know. That's how arrogant and stupid I was. And I turned myself in that day, and I mean, it was like jail. Bam. Reality. I probably was high when I got there. And the lady goes, you'll be going to probation camp tomorrow. We're shipping you out. And I'm like, shipping me out? What the fuck? I was going crazy calling my lawyer. He's like, hey, there's nothing I can do. They shipped me to this probation camp up in Big Bear Mountains for 101 days, I think I was there. And looking back on it, it was actually really cool. I mean, you lived in these cabins. It was a big, you know, basically jail in the woods for the most part. You lived in these cabins and you know, there was a big kitchen. And if you were on a work crew, you went out and worked on the roads, sides of the roads and stuff or whatever it was. I actually worked in the kitchen. And looking back, I mean, and then sometimes that's strange. I look back at shitty things and I'll go, huh, that was actually kind of cool. And I can't recognize it or appreciate it at the time. But looking back on it, I think, it was actually pretty cool. But I remember I went to a meeting every night. They offered meetings there every night, and I went. And I would get my chrono. It was called a chrono. This blue slip of paper. Signed. You know, I was telling you, yeah, I want to get sober. I want to go to these meetings. But reality was is that I wanted these chrono slips signed so that I could go to court and see if I could get early release. And I was bringing all this evidence, you know, of what a great person I was or how I've changed. And so once again, doing something under the umbrella of one thing, when in reality, the real side of me, the real guy was actually had ulterior motives, right? And that was to try to get out of this probation camp early. And I remember going and pleading to get out early, getting on the van, take the van down to the city, to the court, go appear before the judge, and the judge is basically, nah, you can finish your time. It's only 101 days, give me a break. And I was devastated. And I remember going back and, you know, continuing to go to my meetings every night, went to a meeting. I'm never getting high again. I'm done with that shit. And when I finally got out, a friend of mine picked me up when I got out of jail and we got high that day. I mean, so full of shit, man. I was so full. I just didn't want to get sober, you know. But I had made a deal with my dad. I'm coming to Delaware. And it took me a week or so to get my shit together, but I finally got on a van or got a U-Haul and headed across from San Diego to Delaware. 17-foot U-Haul, 15-foot car trailer, three cats, and a bag of dope. And away I went. And tweaked all the way across the United States, finally got to Delaware. And the tweaking game was over. And that is when I really dove into the alcohol. I replaced every trashy drug I did, every garbage move I had, with alcohol. And then it didn't help that the first job I got was like this graveyard shift at a shortstop where I sat in there all night. And then I'd get off at 7 in the morning and then I would start drinking. I was like, and I justified it with, this is my 5 o'clock. And that was really where my drinking took a nosedive. But really up until then, you know, drinking was pretty social. I'd definitely gotten some jams because of alcohol. Got some fights. Got arrested. I mean, you know, it was bad. For any other person, any normal person, it would be out of control. But for the life I lived at the time, it was okay. So a 12-year relationship with something, and then to break up, you know, there's times I miss it. You know, I see commercials. I see the people sitting around the lake drinking Coronas. I'm like, ah, damn, that looks great. And I used to feel a lot of guilt about missing something that was so bad for me. But one of the, I finally got sober in 97. Was doing really well. Was doing what I was told. I had no clue what to do. I was just following directions pretty much on a daily basis. That's how bad I was. And about 5 years, I picked up a drink because that voice said I deserved it. But, if I analyze it and really look at it hard, the fact is that, and I mentioned in a podcast yesterday that I had started doing pills in 99 for a back injury. So I was already sort of drinking. It wasn't in the form of a bottle, but it was in the form of a pill. It made me high. It changed how I felt. It said take one. I took three. I was already drinking. Binge drinking, so to speak. I might have a back flare up and I'd get these pills maybe once every 6-8 weeks. So I was drinking. So when that voice showed up and said I deserved it, I thought of nothing else other than it was right. And, today... And by the way, that was a fucking disaster. I was hiding bottles by the end of the week. Going, I don't know what happened, but here I am.
Yes, I am a pirate, a few hundred years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an under 40 victim of fate, arriving too late, arriving too late. Done a bit of smuggling, I've run my share of weed. I made enough money to buy Miami. I pissed it away so fast, it's never meant to last, it's never meant to last.
When I think about that day with that voice, the one thing that comes to mind is that I did not think the drink through. I think I still always had one foot in my addiction and one foot in sobriety. I don't really think that I had both feet in sobriety. I didn't. I don't think. I know I didn't. So when that voice showed up and said, man, you deserve this. Look how good you've done. It didn't take much for me to have that drink. I think I had always wanted it, really. There's lessons that I've learned through being in sobriety, through 12-step programs, that I learned from fucking up, if you know what I'm saying. And you can't, and I can only speak for me, but I seem to be the guy that you can't tell me to avoid this and you'll never have that. I'm the guy that has to try it and then learn from it, unfortunately. And sometimes people get hurt in this trial by fire kind of thing, but the fact is that's how I seem to have always learned. And that was a long ass time ago, But then I still have these moments, But the difference for me today is that I think everything through. They always say, don't go on your first thought. Ask somebody. Go on your second thought. It's the first thought to get you fucked up. I don't know all the different little phrases, but it's so true. Today when I have this moment where I think the latest one was this. I think Heineken's now putting out a beer with zero alcohol in it. Zero. That means I could drink it, right? But I know better. And I have to think it through. The first thought I have is I've never liked beer. I never have liked alcohol. I mean, when I had that first sip of whatever drink I was drinking, I was like, oh, you know, I did love that. But the fact is I never, you know, you couldn't pour vodka in a glass and have me sip it and find appreciation. And I thought it would taste like shit. Jack Daniels, rum, bourbon, whatever it was, I don't like any of it. I only drink for one reason. That was to get fucking drunk. So for me to think, oh, maybe I could. And, you know, the whole thoughts, well, if I go out, I could have one of those socially. I've never, ever, 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 ever had a problem not drinking socially. I am not the guy that feels bad because I don't drink and I can't fit in. Never been an issue, but that's what my addiction starts telling me. Maybe you could drink this when you go out socially, like it's been a problem. Never has. And then I have to start thinking, what else if I start drinking, you know, beer for the flavor? And then all of a sudden, it starts opening these like weird little doors, you know? And then what happens if I drink? I have done it before. I drank, and by the end of the week, I was hiding bottles. And I have to remember that. I mean, the first time I drank, I lost my first wife, and she took our kid. I mean, if that isn't a big enough eye-opening experience, I don't know what is. And not only did she leave with the kid, I had told her the night before I wanted a divorce, and I was taking the kid. Arrogant. Arrogant. There again. You know, I can't forget that. I cannot forget that. I had a pass on that one. Luckily, I was able to find sobriety again, and I haven't. That was my last drink. Actually, that was not my last drink. I think I drank for another week, and then I had my last drink. But that's what I have to do today. I think everything through. You know, whether it's drinking, speeding in my car, being an asshole, you know, replying to stuff, replying to negative energy or negative comments. You know, this COVID thing and, you know, all the stuff that's going on, especially if you're, you know, like me that lives in a small town, which basically is a community of people that are in small businesses, and all of our paths are not the same, especially when we opened up and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of experts now and a lot of opinions, and it's easy to get into it. And I think it through. I say I'm going to make an opinion and then someone's not going to like it. Then I'm going to get all upset about it and I'm going to get all into it. And now I'm fucking with my serenity, my peace. You know, in the last couple of years, I've really just started limiting the shit that takes up my space, the mental grind, mind grind. You know, if it's not important to me, I don't pay any attention to it. The news, that's iffy. I mean, I try to pick apart. I have little things that I can find news, but I stopped watching any, you know, World News Tonight. I stopped watching all that shit. When I started watching an episode on with David Muir talking to me about how social media was trying to influence how I think. And then I was like, well, isn't the news influencing how I think? Them telling me that Facebook's influencing me is them influencing me. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I shut it all down. I used to be a big fan of the Weather Channel. When I was in the golf course business, man, hurricanes. Oh, my God. If there was a hint of a hurricane, Weather Channel would be on. I mean, that cone of opportunity would be out there. And I'd just be, you know, because I loved weather drama. I loved, you know, a hurricane showing up and, you know, freaking everybody. I don't know. I just loved it. I just loved that drama. And I would just get into it and it would consume me. And, but I shut that off. I don't watch the weather. I don't watch anything. My attitude now is that it should be fine. But here we are today, and we're having basically like a cyclone. And I was supposed to run this morning, and it was raining. And I go, you know what? I'm running on the beach. The only reason I don't ever run in the rain is because my shoes and socks get wet, and that's just miserable. But I'm like, we're running on the beach this morning, barefoot. I'll take a raincoat. I'm going. And I drove down there, and my wife's like, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. I thought I might try running. She's like, you don't run in the rain. I was like, yeah. I go, well, I didn't know it was going to rain this bad. She goes, I told you it was going to be a huge storm. I don't pay attention. I don't waste my mind anymore on stuff like that. And, you know, this is a good example. Maybe I need to pay a little more attention to some things. But the one thing I definitely pay attention to is thinking shit through. And how am I going to look in the end? And I tell you what, just that process, that step of doing that, has gotten me out of a lot of problems, saved me from a lot of drama, a lot of headaches, a lot of apologies. I try to take the high road today. And I really only hang out with people that try to take the high road. And if they don't, I try to be a good influence. So when that time comes where I feel like, hey, man, maybe I'm good again, you know, 12 years later or 11 and something years later, maybe I'm good again. Maybe I can go sit around a lake with my friends and drink Coronas. Nah. I have to think it through. I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful to be sober. Yeah, we're having a hell of a storm today, folks. One of the restaurants here has, you know, one of their solutions for the problem, the COVID problem, is they built a giant tent out in the parking lot. The fucking tent is blowing down the parking lot. It's halfway tilted sideways in the middle of the parking lot. I mean, we have a serious storm here. It's crazy. Today's a pretty cool day for me, my son. Got his first job, and he's going to his first day at work today. And this is the son that my first wife took from me She escaped. She escaped a fucked up situation with a fucked up asshole, and she bailed out. And from that point on, I've been sober, and luckily we've, you know, repaired that. We don't forget. But we've forgiven, thank gosh. And, today we share custody. He lives with me actually most of the time now because his mom had to move. But, he's starting his first job. And I'm really proud of him. But I'm having to try to, walk, tread lightly. Because I want him to learn. Because I know I cannot teach him everything just by saying, David, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, do this, do that, don't do that. He's got to learn. So I have to kind of step back and but I think he's going to be fine, and I credit all that. I don't know what it would be like if I'd continued to drink, but I know one thing, this wouldn't be happening. This would not be happening. So I'm really proud, and it's just, another gift that due to the fact that I don't drink today. And I try to think that shit through, whether it's drinking, restraint from pen and tongue and text. I think they need to update that. I'm a fucking terrible texter. If I want to reveal how fucked up I still am, let me start a texting conversation. I mean, I get so fucking weirded out in texting. I'm that guy. I need to see your face. I need to hear your tone. I need to hear inflections in your voice. I need to hear, where you're at, because I automatically think that someone's upset at me or mad, and I automatically start getting defensive, and it's just, It's that self-centered fear that I still have. Consumed. Never cured. And it's tough, you know. You know, it hasn't gone away. Hopefully one day it does, but I don't know. I just turn all my life and my will over to my higher power, and I, you know, it's a relationship that I never had that I have today that I'm super grateful for, and I use it every day. I pray. I turn things over. It's just a miracle. Hope everyone's having a great day. Stay dry. It is messy out there today. Saw Dave last night on TV and like I'm obsessed this morning with some Dave Matthews.
Sure, I'll be right here.
Have a great day, everybody. Think it through. Bye-bye.